When we began Simin Tzadi Aleph, I mentioned that most of the remainder of Hilchos Bas V'Chalav is arranged like a pyramid. We're stepping up and then going down. The stepping up over the course of Simin Tzadi Aleph into Tzadi Beis was increasing degrees, increasingly powerful degrees of methods of Talmud transfer, from nothing to Maliach and Kavash, and finally to full heat. Simin Tzadi Beis is full Chomer, there's a full Havla'ah. And then from Simin Tzadi Beis and on, you're going to have the stepping down on the far side of the pyramid. It's going to be Simin Tzadi Beis is where you have direct interaction between the Basra and the Chalav, and then Simin Tzadi Gimel and Tzadi Dalet, where it's going to be one step removed, two steps removed, and so forth. Simin Tzadi Gimel, we'll get to Blineder soon. You're going to see one step removed, where it's using a milchik pot with fleishiks. So that means first the milchiks went into the pot, and then subsequently the pot went in, the flavor went from the pot into the fleishik food. No longer the top of the pyramid, so to speak. But Simin Tzadi Beis is the top of the pyramid. We're talking about blia via full heat. And we're talking about direct interaction between the basar and the chalab. One stage. And that explains where we're at. I'm going to pick up tonight with the Ramah in Simin Zayin, Simin Tzadi Beis Sif Zayin. Up until this point, we've been focused on Hanan, largely. Up until this point, the first four Seifim, we spent time with, we spent at least a month on, I think. As Mamash, the Sugi of Tipas Chalav. And then last time we learned together, I think it was 2 weeks ago, so Simanim Hevav and the Shulchan Aruch, Sifim Hevav, the Shulchan Aruch of Zion, were further applications of Hanan. We're talking about the splatter on the outside, how it works with the Sugi in Zvachim, how the Rishonim apply it, Machlokas Rishonim. Those were applications of Hanan. Up until including where we got up to, which was the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Zayin. But beginning with the Ramah and Siv Zayin, which we'll pick up with in a moment, we're really stepping away from the world of Chatich HaNasas Tevela. We're stepping away from Hanan, but this still belongs, these upcoming Se'ifim still belong in Simin Tzadi Beis, because Simin Tzadi Beis is not just about Hanan. It's largely about Hanan, but really with Simin Tzadi Beis, is using, again, that imagery of the pyramid. Simin Tzadi Beis is about direct interaction in Basar and Chalav. Direct interaction in Basar and Chalav meeting in the context of heat. From Simin Tzadi Gimel on, we're going to talk about where the Basar and Chalav aren't in the same place at the same time. The Simin Tzadi Beis is a study of scenarios where the Basar and Chalav are in the same place at the same time with heat. So with that, let's pick up with the Ramah and Sif Zayin. We're going to see there are a number of very significant Yesodos, very Lamasi Yesodos, a lot that comes up here. So let's enjoy this together. Ramah begins, and here there's really three paragraphs of Ramah in Sif Zayin, other than the two word Hachi Nahog, which is a comment on the Shulchan Aruch. Here, let's take a look at the first paragraph. Nishba Chalav Oshar Iser Roseach Al Gabe Karka. Milk or some other hot tarfus spills on the soil. The Hamidu Alav Kedei Rechama. And then subsequently, you put a hot pot on that same location. Imashin nishbach eino etzel ha'esh. If the milk that had already spilled on the soil, there's no fire right nearby. It's not right next to the stove. It's not right next to the oven. So it's going to cool off. It was hot, but then it got absorbed into the soil and then it sat there for hours, even minutes. And it cooled down, I put a hot pot on it. I put a hot pot in a spot where there's some absorbed, a hot fleishik pot in a spot where there's some absorbed milchiks. I put a hot kosher pot, fleishik milchik, what have you, on a spot that had absorbed tarfus. But now the milk or the tarfus in the soil is cold. So then, elohavi rak hilisheni, It's only a klisheni. Lachain hakadeira asura de bolea kitsas. Tavshel mutter de tatar gava. The pot is treif, but the food inside the pot is kosher. Why? Because of klisheni. What's going on here? What's going on here? He's talking about a case where the tarfus is still hot, but it's in the soil. There's no fire nearby. What's going on? So what's really going on is the following. He's given us a number of important yisodos, and it begins with the Gemara on Shabbos Daf Mem of the base. Not a very long Gemara at all, but it is important to know in Parakira. You must have learned to Rav Shalem. I'm sure you saw this Gemara with Rav Shalem. We learn Hilchos Bishul of the Shabbos. The first part of Parak here, the third part of Masach, third Parak of Masach HaShabbos, is about the halachas of Bishul and related Din Zabanon. The halachas of Melacha of Bishul per se begin at the bottom of Lamed Chesem Beis. Two blot later, Daf Mem of Beis, the Gemara tells a story. Shabbos Daf Mem of Beis, the Gemara tells a story. Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi says that he's once in the Merchas with Rabbi, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and they wanted to heat up some oil. The old-fashioned bathhouses, they were going to apply some hot oil, but how are you going to heat up the oil? It sounds like this was on Shabbos. Leaving aside the issue of Rechitza B'Shabbos, which is a Gezer Drabban that may not yet have been implemented, but they wanted to warm up the oil. So that's the real concern of a malacha of bishul, real malacha derais of bishul. How are you going to warm up the oil? The oil is cold. It's not pleasant to put on cold oil in the bathhouse. You want to have warm oil. So he tells them, Amar li, Rabbi Yonasi tells you, Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, tol b'klisheni v'ten. Put the hot water, don't put the flask of oil directly into that water. First take some of the hot water, put it into a mug, so the mug will be a klisheni, and then you can put the oil into the mug of hot water. So the Gemara says, Shema min atlas. You see a number of dinim from this story, one of which is klisheni einu mevashal. You see that you can put the flask of oil into kli rishon, that's a real concern of that's going to constitute, you're going to warm up the oil in kli rishon, that constitutes a malach of bishul. Warm up the oil in klisheni, it does not constitute a malach of bishul. What's the klirishon? What's the klisheni? So if you heat up water or whatever you're heating up on the fire, let's say, in a pot, in a pan, as long as it stays in the pot or the pan in which it was heated, that's called klirishon. That original pot is a klirishon. So let's say warm, just for purpose of illustration, I put water in a kettle, for those who still own kettles. I put water in a kettle, and I put the kettle on the fire, and then the water a few minutes later is hot, so that kettle is a kli rishon. I pour the water from the kettle into a mug, so the mug is a kli sheni, because kli sheni means that's not the kli in which the water was originally heated. And as a matter of fact, Tosis explains. Tosis wants to know, why is it that there's no malach of bishul in a kli sheni? If it's hot, it's hot. If it's not hot, it's not hot. Gemara says daf mem as well, that the shear of heat is yad soletesbo, which itself is a discussion that we won't have right now, but a discussion exactly how you define yad soletesbo. A very, very broad range of temperatures, anywhere from around 1 to 20 degrees to close to 180 degrees. You stop and think, maybe we'll talk about it for a moment. You stop and think, that's a range of close to 60 degrees Fahrenheit. That's a third of the entire range of temperatures at which water is liquid. In Fahrenheit, it's from 32 to 212, 180 degrees over which water is liquid, and a full third of that span is mutl b'machlokas, whether it's yasalazba or not. It's a remarkable type of machlokas. Willig points out that the machlokas probably has to do with how you translate soletus. Yatzaletus, your hand would snap back. Your hand would snap back from the heat in a case where you are surprised or in a case where you're not surprised. Big difference. As a matter of fact, I don't think I really pointed that, but I think if you look, the word soletus, it comes from, Rashi says, Shabbos Daf Mem of the Days, that it comes from Iyov, Asalda Bechila. If you look at that pasuk, it seems like it may be Machlokas Mefarshim in the Mikros Gedolos, whether Asalda means I was shocked, I stepped back in fright, or just I wasn't able to hold on. If you know it's hot, then you're going to be able to hold on at a significantly higher temperature. Okay. So whatever it is, there's a machlokas, how you define Yatzol HaRasbo. We already touched on it a little bit in the past. That's the definition of hot. We're machmer, we tend to be machmer already from 120 and up. I believe that's the approach of the OU. To be machmer from 120 up to consider that at least possibly hot. The Tosa says, hot is hot. What does it matter, klirish and klisheni? I mean, if it's a klirishin but it cooled off, so obviously it's no longer mevashal. If it's a klisheni, it's still, the water was 212. I pour into a mug, eventually it'll cool down, but right now it's still hot. So over yatzol hasbo. So why should it matter? So Tosas develops the idea that we care because defanos mekaros. When it's in the klirishin, so the water is hot and the pot or the kettle is also hot. So the heat is going to diminish gradually. Once you pour the water into the mug, the water is still hot for now, but the mug is cold. Defanos mekaros. The walls will cool it down. So think what that means for the mathematically inclined. You know, the temperature is still the same, but the derivative of the temperature, the temperature is decelerating. It's changing more rapidly. So apparently for Bishul, you need not only a certain temperature, but also a certain stability of temperature. Yeah.
Well, I understand by Shabbos why that's important. Like, why that maybe you have a little bit more gray area in the Yatzol HaRasbo. But in Basar Bachala, when we mentioned at the very some of the first theorem on Basar Bachala, it really is more about changing of substance. So why does it matter whether the walls are makarim or not, if the substance potentially could change with that degree of temperature, it should be a different, like it should be this, it would almost seem like this that classification shouldn't carry over from one aspect to another.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So I think we saw, you're right, we did see in Simon Pezayan that the fact that klirish and mevashal, klisheni einim mevashal, which again ultimately is rooted in this Gemara and Shabbos Daf Mem and Beis, it is relevant to Basar B'Chalav, certainly, although here we're going to see it as a machlokas. And that's because that is the definition of Bishul. Definition of Bishul, and they have to do, again, the discussion in the Rishon already in Masech HaShabbos, they have to do the fact that Klishei and Vashal is because, like, in Darko B'Kach, because the Defanos Makaros, because this heat is rapidly disappearing. So it's an atypical way to cook, or maybe it's more fundamental. It's not just atypical, but it's not as powerful because it's going to be diminished so rapidly.
But this whole simmon is all about not normal. It's a splatter. No one's cooking. It's a splatter cane. So now all of a sudden we're saying, well, the splatter was not
okay.
As hot as I think. That's also not mattering because the splatter cane off of a rebound, off of something else, kind of thing.
Yeah, that is a good point. Definitely the case of the splatter is not the way people usually cook things. But here it's more of the fact that it's slightly, you know, it's different the way someone would normally do it doesn't necessarily make it not bishul. But here it's not just, well, you know, usually you put things in the pot and start throwing them outside. Here it's more of a well-defined category. Bishul is defined, what part of the definition of Bishul is the category of, you know, the distinct category of klirishin as opposed to klisheni. And the fact that klisheni and mevashal, so that's muskam, that's universally accepted with respect to Shabbos and with respect to other areas of halacha that depend on Bishul, such as Bas B'chalav. I say, if you're going to go into, if I'm going to stick... If I stick a meat, I heat milk in a saucepan, then I pour it into a mug, and I sprinkle in some chopped meat. Not sure why. Sprinkle some chopped meat into the mug of hot milk. So that mug of hot milk is a klisheni. Klisheni and mevashal. You sprinkle in meat, it's not going to create Basar Bachal of Daraisa. That's not Bishal. Even though they're blending, look, if they blend with salting also. It's Asa Midrash Banan, but it's not Bishal. That's what we saw in Simon Sadi Alf and Simon Pezayin. It has to be that the flavors are blending Ayyadei Bishal. So in terms of Basar Bachal of Daraisa, this certainly is not Basar Bachal of Daraisa in a cliche meat, because you need halachic Bishal. The question is, it says, Adkad, everyone agrees. Adkan, this is the muskum, that the bishul, based on the Gemara on Shabbos, the bishul is defined by Kli Rishon as opposed to Kli Sheni, and that's relevant not only for Hilchah Shabbos, but for Basar Bechalav and perhaps Hilchah's Karban Pesach as well, wherever you need a definition of bishul. What the Ramah here is saying is a step further. And the Ramah here is taking a side in what appears in Hilchah's Taruvis, Simon Kufhei, the Simon and Taruvas that's most directly focused on issues of Tam Ka'ikar. Simon Kufhei, right near the beginning. Simon Kufhei Se'if Beis. The Gilin Marsha here tells you to look there. Here in my print, it's the Oslam and Ches. Lohavi Rak Kilisheni. He says, well, take a look at the Shach and Simon Kufhei. Simon Kufhei Se'if Katan He. That Shach refers to the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Kufhei Se'if Beis. He quotes the Tur, who quotes the Rashbam and Taras Habayis. There's a machlokas Rishonim. We all agree that Kli Sheni Eino Mavashel. Does it also therefore follow that Kli Sheni Eino Mavliya? So, okay, forget about Basar Bechalav Daraisa. Is there any flavor transfer at all to create Basar Bechalav Drabbanan or to transfer some other Easter? I made myself a mug of coffee or a mug of tea and milk, whatever, postum, whatever you like. I made myself a milk drink in a mug. Right? So I had hot water. I pour the hot water into the mug and pour in some milk. And then I stick in a fleishik spoon to mix it. Or I take a fleishik spoon to scoop out the tea bag or whatever it is. I stuck a fleishik spoon into the hot mug. And what's the fleishik spoon? It's a ben yomo. We'll get to the din of ben yomo in later siman. But it's ben yomo. It's hot, boiling hot. But it's a cliche. So is there a transfer of flavor? Did the spoon become treif? Because I just stuck a fleishik spoon into hot milk. Did the mug become treif? Is the drink treif? Well, the discussion only begins if you're going to say Kli Sheni is Mavliya. Can Kli Sheni create Bishul, but it's still hot, can it at least cause a transfer of flavors? There are other cases where you have transfer of flavor without Bishul, and we said Maliach Kiroseach. Maliach is a method of Bulia Betzoning. Kavush, 24-hour soak. We had in Simon Sadelf and Simon Pezayin. Another method of Belia Batsonev, transfer of flavor without heat. We'll get to at the end of the Halachas Bas Bechav. Ducha de Sakin and Davachar. If I cut a pickle, I cut an onion, I cut garlic, I cut a lemon with a knife, that combination of the sharp flavor and the pressure of the knife, or I spear it with a fork, so that also, yet another method of Tom transfer without heat, Belia Batsonev. So the question is, how about the Kli Sheni? It's even hot. So it's not Mavashal. Okay. Malicha is not Mavashal either. So maybe there could be, just because Ein Mavashal, who says it's Ein Mavliya? So that is a Machlokas again. So that's what you look in Simon Kufhei, you know, the Taruva, Simon Kufhei Siv Beis. So it's a Tur Shulchan Aruch quote from the Rashba. 2 days we've shown him. Is Kli Sheni Mavliya or Kli Sheni Ein Mavliya? This comes up all the time. The Kli Sheni shayos tend to come up, I think, more frequently than the Kli Rishon shayos. Kli Rishon is, really much like in the pot. Kli Sheni, ready, it's on the plate, it's in the bowl, it's in the mug, and then someone wasn't paying attention for a moment. It comes up all the time. So that's 2 days in Rishonim. Is Kli Sheni Mavliya, or is Kli Sheni Eino Mavliya? It's not Mavashel, but is it Mavliya? Does it cause Tom transfer? So it's 2 days in Simon Kufhei. Here the Ramah tells us how he paskens. What he said was, let's take a look again. hot milk, chalav oshar iser oseh, hot milk or hot tarfus spills onto the soil. It spills into the soil, and this is not a granite. This is not your granite countertop. This is not your tile floor. This is your dirt floor. I was looking just the other day. On Yom Yerushalayim, I have a beautiful transcription, a writing, a telling of the episodes of the Six-Day War in Biblical Hebrew by Chagai Ben Arzi. He entitled it Megillat Sheshet Hayamim. Very, very beautiful. Very miragesh. On the cover, he has a picture of the soldiers dancing at the Kotel right after they had reconquered the Kotel. And you see the Kotel you recognize, if you look at the floor, it's dirt. This is before the Israelis redid everything and made it beautiful. The dirt floor. So you have a dirt floor in your kitchen, and some hot milk spills, and then a minute later you put the pot down. Right? This sounds like a counter question. Right? But here the counter is not quartz, and the counter is not formica. The counter is soil. Dirt. So the milk, hot, you have hot milk sitting in the soil. It's still hot. Or hot tarfus sitting in the soil. It's still hot. And then I take a hot fleshic pot and I put it down on top of the spot that has the absorbed hot milk. So Rabbah says, that sounds pretty scary. That sounds pretty treif. Says Rabbah, not so treif. He says, if there's no heat source right near the soil, if it spills on the soil, it's mamish right near the fire pit. So that's like a clearition. It's getting ongoing heat from the milk in the soil is still getting ongoing heat from the oven, from the stove, from the fire pit. But if there isn't a source of heat, if it's just in the middle of the floor, right? In mashenishpach eino etzel ha'esh, if it's not right near the fire, so then lo havi rak klisheni. So then the milk, the hot milk that's absorbed into the soil, is the soil is a klisheni. It's no longer in the saucepan. It spilled out of the saucepan onto the floor. So that's, yes, hot milk, the hot milk and klisheni, and therefore he says it's not mavliya. Now, what does he say? He says, well, the pot's going to be treif, but the soup in the pot will be kosher. Why? The pot is treif because the pot itself is hot. Hakadeira asur de boleya kitsas. Absorbs a little bit. Why? Tata gava. And this takes us back to Simon Tzadiyal. You have chamutoch tzonein, as we treat the pot, the fleshik pot, that's a klirishin. So that's cham. But the hot milk in the soil down below, that's considered tzonein. Why? Because the Ramah is paskin, kli, sheni, eno mavliya. So you have so that's why we treat the hot milk in the soil is a cliche, and therefore it's treated as cold. The pot that's coming down and is hot. So it's chamel tov tzonein, the equivalent of iroi. So what did we say? What the Gemara is saying? Chamel tov tzonein, it's basically a tzonein situation, because tata gavar. So it's not mavliya bakula, but it's mavliya kadei klipa. So what happens with the kadei klipa is you're going to have a little bit of penetration of the milk into the pot, only the first klipa. The first klipa is the pot itself. So the pot becomes treif, because the pot is boleya milchik, but it doesn't. The milchik never penetrates through into the soup. In the Shmini Shabbos Kehilchasa, he has sort of a parallel situation Hilchas Shabbos, where you know when you have kedei klipa, if the kedei klipa onto a kli, it's just the kli, not the contents. He talks about heating a baby bottle. Want to heat a baby bottle, you have cold milk or cold express milk, cold formula, whatever it is, and you want to warm it up. So he says you could stick it into klisheni, okay? Or you could even do iroi from a klirishin. And you can even put the bottle, the cold bottle, into a bowl and then pour hot water onto it. Why? If you pour hot water onto it, it's iroi, it's chamel tov tzonein. It's mevashel kedei klipa, but the kedei klipa is the bottle. There's no issur of heating the bottle. The issur is only, it's not bishul to heat a bottle, heat plastic, unless your mom is softening the plastic. So water is not hot enough for that. Your concern is you can do bishul on the formula, but the formula is beyond the kedei klipa. It's the same svara as Ramah here, that when it's kedei klipa on something that's in a kli, So the kli itself serves as a kedei klipa, and the contents inside are untouched. So you see that the Ramah is clearly assuming that kli sheni, not only kli sheni mevashel, but kli sheni eino mavliya. And that's what then the Shach goes on saying, Sif Katan Laman Aleph, if the pot was cold, just it was hot milk absorbed into the soil, so then it would be a zero. That would be tzonen l'toch tzonen. If it was, the kedera was tzonenes, if the pot of that you're putting down is cold, I feel like kedera muteres. And that's not a concern whatsoever. Okay, so that's very, very significant. That's a very significant psak. Amar is telling us unequivocally that he paskins that the klisheni is eino mevashel. He paskins that klisheni is eino mavliya. That 2 days in the Rashba, the 2 days in the Torah and Shulchan Aruch. Then Rama goes on in the second of the three paragraphs. Yeah, question.
Yeah, so I apologize that you covered this last week. So it's obvious that you could have glia from the outside of the pot, and that gets mixed into whatever slices on the inside of the pot. Right?
Yeah, that's a good point. Right. So this is a point of connection, no pun intended, to the previous couple. Se'ifin, right? That's what we spoke about last time. That the Rishonim, the Chachmei Ashkenaz, most Chachmei Ashkenaz assume, based on the Gemara in Zvachim, that if it's reverse, if it's milk, if the hot pot is stationary, and that is the tata, so if milk splatters on the outside, we do assume that the milk will not only be nivla into the pot, but potentially be nivla straight across and through. Right. But that's because we're making that physical assumption that the bleas can spread in that way in principle if there's enough force pushing them. So if you have a stationary hot pot, so that's l'toch cham, so that's bliya b'kulo. And then we have all the calculations about, well, maybe it spreads like this, maybe it spreads like that, but at least in principle, we're at least open to the possibility there's going to be full penetration. But here it's limited, the depth of penetration is limited because it's cham l'toch tzonin, because here it's the hot pot is in motion. And that which is stationary is hot, but not hot al-pidin. I mean, it's a klisheni, the hot milk, and we assume, Rama Paskin, that klisheni ain't no mavliya. And then he takes it, then the next step is, how about if there's a drip? How about if there's spillage? Ki luach min ha-kedera rosachas, shehalach al-kedera tonenos. So you have a pot on the fire, pot on the stove, then you have another pot on the other end of the stove. So pot number one has a fire going underneath, and the pot number two, the fire is off. A cold pot. Or pot number two is on the countertop next to the stovetop. And you have a flow, a kiluach, from the hot pot, and it makes its way across horizontally to the cold pot. In other words, you weren't monitoring the hot pot, and it starts to bubble over. It starts to bubble over and goes over the side and down and across. And it hits, and you come back to the kitchen a few minutes later, and I can't believe it. The chicken soup bubbled over, and it made its way, this hot flow of chicken soup made its way to the milchik pan. And now the hot chicken soup is licking the edge of the milchik pan. Yeah?
Is this situation described here talking about where the overflowed liquid goes on the counter, or it goes through the air?
Great question. Great question. Let's take a look. Very, very good point. Where is this liquid going? It sounds like it's traveling sideways on a surface. Im nifsaka ki luach min akedera rosachas kodim shegil atzonin havei namik klisheni. He says if the flow is interrupted, that you can't draw a straight line from the bit overflowing the pot all the way to the milk pan, there wasn't continuous flow. If it was nifsakaki luach, if the flow got cut off, but it's bubbled over a little bit, then it stopped, maybe started again. But meanwhile, you have this sort of like puddle it's moving, but it's not connected all the way back. It's called nifsak hakiluach. The flow is cut. So then that's kli sheni.
Gewaldic.
So you're mechavin to the Taz. Take a look at the Taz and Sif Chav Vav. Sif Kam Chav Vav. He says, it's a klisheni. How did it become a klisheni? So the Taz writes, nearly in his daiti, it seems to me, the zeh nami dafka she'ena mak mahuro seach. Then he had soletis. Then lo came havi kikli rishin. I take that back. That may or may not be relevant. He says it's only if the spot is cold. Now I'm not sure if he just means that the pan is cold, or also means that the what's it called? I think he also means that the. The it's moving along a surface that's called. I think that's the way the Bar Hetev understands it. In Sivkan Chaveh. Kasavataze Mari Dafkim Nishbach B'makam Hakira. It spills onto a part of the stove. She'ena Chava Machmas Eish. It's traveling along the stovetop in a spot that the heat doesn't reach. It's traveling on the stovetop in a spot the heat doesn't reach. So that's why if it's going to be Nifsak HaKiluach. That's why if it's going to be nifsak hakiluach, if it separates from the flow from the pot, then that's really klisheni. That's what he said. It's klisheni. It's not even iru klirishin. It's klisheni. Why is it klisheni? Because you have this puddle of hot chicken soup that's moving along the cold countertop or the cold stovetop. So that's hot stuff, but not in the kli, not sitting on top of the kli which was heated. That's a klisheni, and that's not mavliya at all. Then the Rama says, but in lo nifsak hakiluach, if you do have a straight flow all the way from the, there's so much bubbling over, you have a straight uninterrupted flow from the hot pot chicken soup all the way until the cold pan. So then havi ki iroi. Then it is has the status of iru kli rishon, so it's mavliya kede klipa. The kedera tonenas nesra and miyada soledes bikiluach hanogeh bikedera. If you have an uninterrupted flow, and by the time it gets to the chicken soup that's touching the milchik pan is still yad soledes bo. If it's not yad soledes bo, nothing to talk about. But if it's still yad soledes bo, it's hot. So that's considered to be iru kli rishon. So the pan becomes treif, that's the kedek klipa, top shesh besocha shari. But the food inside, and any cold scrambled eggs and cheese inside the pan is going to be kasher. Now he says, he already intimated in the first paragraph, now he says befeish. The ein iri owes to rakedek klipa, because the iri is on the kedek klipa. So the kedek klipa, you have a hot soup, that's a hot fleshek soup that's touching the milchik pan, but it's via irui. So then it's only nivla into the first klipa, which is the pan itself. But in the hakedera he chabana, he says, he explains. But if that pan is hot, if the chicken soup makes its way to the milchik pan and the pan is hot, he klirishon, and if u klirishon, it's a klirishon. And v'choshkeim omenag etzel ha'esh. Certainly, if it's a klirishon on gabe ha'eshon, if the fire is still on under the pan, or even if the fire is off, but the pan is, the fire was on a couple minutes ago, the pan's still hot, so then, even if the kiluach is so, then I don't care how the chicken soup got here. I call asr, tato agava. The keton, tato cham, the kulu asr. Commotions barley el simin tariyal. Okay. So this, in the second paragraph, he explains, sort of works out more explicitly the mechanics that were really driving the first case as well. One additional point that comes up here, I mentioned a lot of practical yesodos come up. This middle paragraph of the Ramah is sort of mostly reapplying the yesodos of the first one, but again adding this idea of the nifsak hakiluach, that specifically that lo nifsak hakiluach maintains its status of ira klivishon despite the fact that it's moving along a cold surface. The Reb Kiva Eger adds an additional nakuda that actually comes up a fair amount. We actually mentioned it last year at the end. In thinking about this kedera rosachas, the kiluach, you know, the chicken soup bubbles over the pot and then it makes its way across the stovetop. So Reb Kiva Eger raises something which is not true about our stoves, but is something that sometimes the kashrus agencies will engineer. But back in the old days, because we have our stoves are ash-free, whether it's gas or it's convection, whatever it is, there's no there's nothing producing ash on our stovetops. But back in the old days, sure there was. Stovetop meant you had wood fires. So a stovetop in the old days was not clean and gleaming. A stovetop in the old days had the pockets of ashes. When you think about the mizbeach, or the pile of ash in the center, every stovetop, lahavdil. You had ash all over. So he raised an interesting question. The Rikveger says, you talk about Nifsaka, you talk about the Kiluach, the Ramah's talking about the flow of chicken soup across the stovetop all the way until it hits the milchi pan. He says, Hacha mayaskinan, he says, Minakadero Sachas, but Minchas Yaakov, Kasa, quotes the same Minchas Yaakov, Mari deba'oso makam laka efeth. This is only true that we're concerned about the chicken soup potentially trafing up the milchik pan if there's no ash in the way. If there was ash in the way, then it's a nosen tam lufgam. The flavor that of the chicken soup getting absorbed into the pan is pagum. It's a negative taste, and that is not a problem. That is not a problem. He says he's not sure. If it just flows right over some ashes, maybe it's not going to pick up enough ash to be pogim it. But in principle, if it picks up enough ash, it's not going to make the pan trafe at all. That's a very significant point. Once something becomes trafe, so even if it sits for 24 hours, we'll get to that din later on of Eina Ben Yomo. If it started as a good flavor and then it degrades over the course of 24 hours, so then we still lechatchila avoid it. And we'll get to more of those details. But this case is what we call tchilas hablia lefgam. In other words, the soup already picked up the ash before it ever touched the milchik pan. So by the time the flavor of the soup is nivlan to the milchik pan, it's already lefgam. It's already pogum. Tchilas hablia lefgam. The blia of the soup into the pan was pogum from the first moment, not 24 hours later. If it's tchilas hablia lefgam, that is heter gomer. I think I mentioned last week, at the end, or 2 weeks ago, rather, our last year, that's what the OU does in the canning plants. If you have canning plants where they cook the food in the cans by running them through the superheated steam jackets, and they're reusing the water. And to empty all the water means taking the equipment offline for who knows how long. That's a very expensive proposition. So that's one option, to change the water. Another option is that you show that when the mashgichim show up to do a kosher run of food, they pogim the water. They'll introduce a devra pogim into the water. The water already has the time of the clam juice that they were canning previously, but I'm going to pogim the water before it ever touches the kosher cans. It's the same as with kiveger. You can add aether. I think they use aether. I think they use pine oil. But they add a devra pogim before it ever touches the next kosher kli, then that next kosher kli remains kosher. This comes up at home as well, all the time, in the sink. That's usually one of the first questions when it's a sink, Shaila, is did the sponge have detergent in it? The detergent is almost invariably the rapogim. So if the hot water already was mixed with detergent before it touched the potentially problematic kli, then it's tchilas hablia lefgam, and then you're in the clear. That's another very, very practical and important yesod of Tchilas Ablil of Gam. Again, the concept of Eino Ben Yomo, we're going to get to later on once we start talking about Kalim. I think this is actually a good spot to stop, because the last piece of the Ramah, I said this Ramah sort of breaks into three paragraphs. The last piece of the Ramah is really relevant to the next Sif in Shulchan Aruch. I'm not sure why it's organized this way. But the last Sif Ramah is relevant to the next Sif in Shulchan Aruch, Sif Ches, and also to later Sif in Bas B'Chalav. That's going to take up the question of Zeya. And we'll pick up that next time. How do you deal with vapor coming off of a milchik pot, vapor coming off of a fleshik pot, doesn't have the status of, is vapor fleshik, is vapor milchik, is vapor treif? That's relevant, as we're going to see, to food that's hanging over a steaming pot, that could be the Shulchan Aruch Sevches. It's also relevant to the story with lids. So maybe we'll pick up with that in Mirtz Hashem next time.